I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is always going to end with the Bidens coming in front of the committee. We are going to subpoena the family. I mean, we're putting the case together to win in court. Obviously, with all the opposition and obstruction we're getting from the Biden attorneys now, we know that this is going to end up in court when we subpoena the Biden. So we're putting together a case. And I think we've done that very well. We've shown the bank records. If I had subpoenaed Joe and Hunter Biden the first day I became chairman of the committee, it would have been tied up in court and the judge would have eventually thrown it out, because at that time the narrative was, well, they never took any money while he was vice president. He never had any communication with his business associates. And, the money never came from China. We've had to go every step of the way and prove the media narrative was wrong and the vice president and the current president lied. We have caught Joe Biden in so many lies, I can't even count the number of lies now.
Can't even begin to count them. There you have Kentucky Congressman James Comer, head of the Oversight Committee, and his opening words, that's the key. He said this is always going to end in subpoenas issued for the Biden families. That would include President Biden. Now, he may find a way around it, as Trump did on any subpoena they issued him, but the other Biden family members do not have executive privilege. Thank you for joining us again. Here we are, August 10. August 10, my gosh, it's going by in a hurry, right? August 10, 2023. Welcome to the first hour of two of Larry Connors USA, reminding you when we're doing the program 6 to 8 p.m. each evening. We're also streaming at News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, and Rumble, available on all those platforms while the program is airing. So, of course, the question is, and before I get to the question and the answer, I want to reemphasize what Comer said. There have been so many lies presented by this administration, and not just out of the White House. All of those around him, I mean, they have thrown a blanket over everything. And, of course, you've got the state-controlled media that is running around totally blind with their eyes purposely closed. They do not want to see anything. We told you yesterday how much coverage over the last week, from August 1 to August 8, how much coverage the three major networks, I ain't talking about the cable networks, like CNN and MSNBC and others, ABC, CBS, and NBC, last week spent 5 hours covering the latest Trump indictment. They spent 5 minutes or less covering Joe Biden. This stuff is right in front of them. A third grader could take this information and write a story on it. And I'm praying that in the midst of those third grades, and even among those children that might have been aborted, but now abortion is not considered, quote, law of the land, as if it ever were, we might have future journalists coming up that will really look out for this country. But we've got to protect it until they get ready. So once again, back to Congressman Comer. If he's saying that this is always going to end the subpoenas for the Biden family, can he answer when will they be subpoenaed?
We want to talk to about three or four more associates first. We've been communicating with a couple of them. We're trying to bring them in just like we did Devin Archer for a transcribed interview. If they don't come in voluntarily, then they'll be subpoenaed. So this is taking a lot longer. But if you look at how the special counsel Durham or other special counsels conducted investigations, I think our committee is going a whole lot faster than any other congressional committee in history and any other special counsel.
Yeah.
This is a complicated case, and we're being obstructed every step of the way by the Department of Justice, by the FBI, by the Secret Service, by the IRS, and by the Biden family attorneys.
Wow.
But that's not stopping us. We continue to produce evidence about every 2 weeks.
And you want another example of how the media, the state-controlled media, has been involved and a conspiratorial effort to cover everything up bad about Biden? I'm looking at a piece put together by Paul Sperry for The Federalist. And he's talking about how the Washington Times fact checker, Washington Post fact checker, let me correct myself, Washington Post fact checker, Glenn Kessler, deserves four Pinocchios for the way he's botched the Biden Burisma fact check. And he adds that 6 years, or rather 2 years after all of this started with the Burisma, six updates, zero corrections, and the Washington Post continues to hold to its original story. And yet it had been incorrect among these facts that they were presenting and saying, this is a fact, that's not, this is a fact, that's not. One of them beginning, obviously, with the Hunter Biden laptop. They never really apologized for not saying it existed. They finally got around to reporting it, as did the New York Times eventually. And then also getting into, did Biden ever attend any of these dinners? Yes, he did. We know he did now. Did he have any conversations with the business associates? Now, Biden will tell you over and over again, never, never. I don't talk to those people. I don't talk to any business people. That's pretty much what he said. I'll give you the perfect example. They're always deflecting. Maria Bartiromo was talking today about how their reporter, Peter Ducey, was traveling with the president as he was in New Mexico, Grand Canyon prior to that, then back into, rather in Arizona, now in New Mexico. But he had a chance to talk to the president. The president actually waved reporters over. Hear how this played out.
President Biden snapping at Fox News' Peter Ducey yesterday when asked about his involvement in his son's business transactions.
There's this testimony now where one of your son's former business associates is claiming that you were on speakerphone a lot with them talking business. Is that what?
Never talked business with anybody. And I knew you'd have a lousy question.
Well, why is that a lousy question?
Because it's not true.
It's not true. That makes it a lousy question. And it also makes me look bad. Back to the Washington Post fact checker, Kessler. He has revised his analyst of the Burisma story numerous times, but still resists calling his revisions corrections. Listen, in this business, if you make a mistake, you owe up to it and say we were wrong. Now, the beauty of being in the print media versus electronic media, what we're doing here, and of course, in his decades as a news anchor, they can bury any, quote, correction, revision, you want to use that word now, deep into the copy, or put it on page 19C. It'll be there. Yeah, we put a correction in, revision, 19C. Go in there, you'll find it. When you're in broadcast, you have to look right into the camera if it's on TV, or right into the, speak directly in the microphone for the radio audience. Say, that story I told you about yesterday was wrong. You have to occupy a time frame to make the specific apology about that event. Well, let me correct that. Unless you're among the state-controlled media and you're not going to apologize for one damn thing. I don't care how bad you were in your reporting, what mistakes you made, what fabrications you added as, quote, facts. No, just ignore it. New cycle to turn over, we'll move forward. We don't want them to do that over and over again. There is a lot of push for rush forward. Let's go ahead and move on Biden. And, of course, any day we could see another indictment against Trump out of Georgia. But Congressman McCarthy, the House Majority Leader, says, just like Comer and Jim Jordan has also said, we want to do this right at the correct time, and we have a plan.
I think there's enough proof out there that this Biden family needs to come forward and show there wasn't a pay to play. America deserves more, and Americans want to know. When you move to an impeachment inquiry, it empowers Congress, Republicans and Democrats, within their subpoena, to be able to get the answers they need. Because we have found time and again, we haven't seen anything like this since the Nixon administration, using their government to shut down any time we had a question. I would think the Biden family would want to clear their name.
Right. Come on forward. Speak out. No. And Kentucky Congressman James Comer said also that we don't want to rush to judgment like we saw the Democrats do. We are going to build a solid case.
Well, we found more bank records that show the Bidens continue to rake in millions of dollars from our adversaries around the world, much of it while Joe Biden was vice president. Remember, just a few months ago, the president and the media were telling us that, number one, no money ever transferred to Bidens while Joe Biden was vice president. That was false, and false in a big way. Said that his family never received money from China. That was false. We've proven that false with their bank records. And he said he never communicated with any of the people who were wiring his family the millions and millions of dollars. And that was probably the biggest lie of all, Maria. That's what we proved with the Devin Archer transcribed interview. Joe Biden communicated with every single person that sent his family money, even going so far as to having dinner with them. And that's just what we know about.
And that's just what we know about. And one of the things they know about, one of those oligarchs gave Hunter Biden, according to bank records, a check for something like $147,500. That's off the top of my head. Right around $148,000. Which happened to be the exact amount of money Hunter Biden paid for a Porsche immediately after he got the check cashed. Oh, it's so coinky-dinky all the time with these guys. I'm glad the Republicans are going about this in a methodical way, as I said, rather than rushing, as we saw the Democrats rushing to hang Trump over, quote, Russian collusion. In another scandal, Senator Paul thinks he found a smoking gun on Dr. Fake.
Knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. You do not know what you are talking about.
You do not know what you're talking about. I am a doctor. You're just a senator. Well, actually, Senator Rand Paul is a doctor, ophthalmology. Doesn't handle infectious diseases specifically, but he's smart enough to figure it out. You remember that exchange. That happened back in 2021, and there have been similar exchanges since then. Well, that was then. Now let's move up to the current part. But the current part being is that right now, Senator Rand Paul has some documents that he believes will be more than enough for the DOJ to carry out a criminal investigation of Dr. Fake.
I don't think there's ever been a clearer case of perjury in the history of government testimony, and I don't say that lightly. He said adamantly that the government never funded this gain-of-function research. We now have the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, has admitted that the funding came from the NIH. We have the acting director, Tabak, of the NIH, admitting it in writing that it came from the NIH. But now we have really the smoking gun, and that is Fauci in private saying the opposite of what he was saying in public. When he was publicly telling me that absolutely we do not fund gain-of-function research in China, he says privately, we are suspicious that the virus has been manipulated, and we are suspicious because we know they are doing gain-of-function research. He then goes on to describe the research, and it's exactly the research that the NIH funded. So he's caught dead to rights here.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty obvious, right? And not only did he say it in testimony, he also submitted some information in writing, again denying there was no gain of research, we had nothing to do with that, blah, 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 blah. My favorite line. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Now, so Senator Rand Paul is going to present this to the Department of Justice. Oh, yeah, that Department of Justice, with mealy mouth Attorney General Merrick Garland. And of course, they'll probably assign the FBI agents under Christopher Wray. Yeah, right. and they'll do other quote inquiries, right? And they'll do it all above board, right? Do you smell something that stinks here and all of this? There'll be no full investigation, not under this DOJ. And there was a line in one of the emails that got recovered. It reads, Dr. Fauci doesn't want his fingerprints on anything regarding the origin of COVID. The question to Senator Rand Paul, why?
Ultimately, culpability attaches. Think about it. 1 million Americans died. This is one of the biggest events, you know, in our lifetime, other than, you know, the wars that we've been through. But in my lifetime, you know, this is 1 million people. In Vietnam, as horrible as it was, 60,000 something, I think, was the total death toll. But 1 million people died. More people died than in the Civil War. And if it came from a lab that we funded, wouldn't we want to know? And if someone made the decision, and here's what in all likelihood happened. There was a safety committee that was supposed to review dangerous research and decide whether or not we should fund it. Fauci went around the committee. He won't admit it, but I think ultimately there's going to be written proof, and I think the House is going to get this if we continue to look into their records, because the government is holding these records tightly. But evidence that Anthony Fauci took this dangerous research and said, no, no, if they get an exemption, they don't have to be reviewed by the committee to see if it's dangerous. And so they were mixing viruses together to see if they were more transmissible in humans or more dangerous in humans. It turns out they found that they could create viruses right. that were more dangerous.
And the senator also said, and they apparently are still doing it, not with any of our money now, but they're still apparently involved in doing gain of research on viruses. Now, again, I will admit to you, I think it's a good idea to identify how a virus can be mutated and weaponized so you can inoculate your population against it or whatever you need if it's used as a bioweapon. But you damn sure don't send the money and the expertise and knowledge to the communist Chinese. Do you really think they're going to do it to benefit you, Americans? Of course not. And there are also previous allegations that what they were doing is isolating certain viruses they could mutate that would attack and be specifically directed to certain ethnic groups. Could be white race, black race, Indian race. It could be a religious group. In other words, they could target something that would be within the genes of that general populace. No, Fauci bears a lot of culpability, and you just have to pray we get to the bottom of it and we never have something like this happen again, especially with us assisting and then covering it up. Coming up, President Biden is so proud of what he did regarding federal land around an Arizona Indian reservation. Well, a member of the Crow Nation says, this is war. Yeah, this is war. Nothing to be smiling about. Next, also coming up, crime jumping really big in D.C. So a new chief is in. And in Seattle, a 23-year-old police vet resigns, saying criminals are now running the city. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Well, I started out with $1 Gambled with a man and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I moved to Seattle in 1998. It was absolutely beautiful and it was clean and the department had a great reputation and it was outstanding. And then just over the year, and I was able to do my job and I thought I did it really well. And but over the years, it has just gone from the very top to the very bottom. And I just, I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's, I can't live the lie. I've poured my heart, my soul into all of this. And so I wanted to go out saying the truth. Yeah, so I did.
That is a now retired Seattle police lieutenant, 23 years on the service in Seattle. She's one of about 600 Seattle officers who've resigned lately. Now, I will tell you, to make it clear, that she also has some issues with how apparently promotions and so forth were granted. But her main point was, I'm retiring because criminals are running the city. That is a blue city, of course. My guest we've had on before, you guys love hearing her, and I do too. She's right to the point, retired Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith with the National Police Association. Betsy, glad to have you back.
Hey, it's glad to be with you to, you know, to talk about this poor lieutenant from Seattle PD and, of course, so much more. You know, we're seeing the culmination of over 3 years of the demonization of cops, and cops are tired of it. And I think the American people are, too.
Well, you know, just yesterday, Cori Bush, Missouri congresswoman, was lamenting the Mike Brown case, the Ferguson case, which ignited the Black Lives Matter thing. And pointing out again that, you know, how bad it was, police brutality, things of this nature. Well, the police officer ended up having to leave his job, but bottom line was he was found not just innocent by a county grand jury and a county prosecutor, but then they went after federal civil rights violations, again found not guilty. But she's out there peddling the lie, and the more they tell the lie, and we keep refuting it, but at some point we get tired of refuting it, but they're going to continue rolling. Now, we talked about Seattle then. D.C. right now is apparently on pace to have the deadliest year in 20 years, 16 homicides just so far during the month. Their chief resigned. They got a new one now, Pamela Smith. What happens next?
Well, in Washington, D.C., you know, you have an incredibly woke city council, and the mayor, Muriel Bowser, is trying to deal with what's happening. And she, remember, she was all about police reform and defund the police, but she quickly caught on that that was a terrible idea. But her city council continues to double down and triple down on these anti-criminal justice, anti-law and order policies. To the point where, remember, in March, the Senate had to step in and stop them from changing the entire criminal code in Washington, D.C. to make it more pro-criminal and less crime victim friendly. But now these same city council people that wanted to change the entire code are saying, oh, you got to bring in the National Guard. We're 500 cops short. Well, why do you think you're 500 cops short? Just like Seattle PD, why do you think they can't bring new blood into that police department and they can't replace the cops that are leaving? It's because of just what that female lieutenant said. What is the point of doing that job when we're not allowed to do it? And we're seeing this all over the country.
Not only being not allowed to do it, but then when you do do it, then you got slapped back. You make one mistake, they're all over you. You're the criminal suddenly. And if officers make a mistake, they need to be held accountable. But in course, right now, if you're trying to fill your ranks rapidly, who knows what short... Well, you tell me. Shortcuts being taken inside police training, rushing, trying to get people on the street, and maybe they're not the best candidate. They would not have qualified previously, but right now they need, quote, boots on the ground.
Well, let's go back to Ferguson, right? What did we hear after the Michael Brown shooting? We need better trained cops. We need better educated cops. et cetera, et cetera. And now we're at the point where, for example, my native Illinois is bringing, they say, okay, we're going to let illegals who have right. just have green cards, but they, I'd have no legal status. Let's let them be cops. Yeah. I mean, it's absolute insanity. And you're right. We are no longer getting the best and the brightest to fill the ranks of the American law enforcement officer. Cops are staying just long enough to try and get their pension. And then they're getting out or they're leaving after a few years because, you know, when I was on the job, we worried about, you know, what if I get sued? What if I get fired? Now they're worrying about what if I get indicted? What if the woke prosecutor in my county says, I don't like how you got involved in that use of force situation. I'm going to put you in prison and no job is worth that. And so cops are just walking off the job. But I do believe the American public is starting to see that it's not the fault of the American law enforcement officer. It's the fault of the political class like Cori Bush, like who you guys deal with, that while she's spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep herself safe, she doesn't appear to give a damn about her constituents.
Well, and again, she's one of the George Soros-backed prosecutors. I mean, Congress members of the squad. Mm-hmm. And then you've got your governor of Illinois, also Soros-backed. But just yesterday, Florida Governor DeSantis fired the Orlando area state attorney because she was not pursuing actual criminal activity against criminals. She was just kind of letting them walk and focusing on what did the police do wrong.
Well, exactly. And it landed two Orlando police officers in the hospital fighting for their lives last weekend. The man that shot those officers had been let out time and time and time and time again, despite of an extraordinary violent criminal record. And the law in Florida allows for the governor to do what DeSantis did, and that is remove her. And make no mistake about it, George Soros is the reason that she was there. He spent his organization spent $1.5 million in the last months of her campaign to get ads out there to talk about criminal justice reform
for
and
one state
and
attorney,
all
for
that.
For one state attorney in the Orlando area. $1 million?
Yes, that's one. And now again, there is over 70 of these Soros-installed prosecutors around this nation, and they're not just in big areas and in big blue cities, but they're in smaller jurisdictions. This is why people have got to pay attention to local elections. You know, we get eaten up with who's going to be the president. Who's going to be your prosecutor? Who's on your city council? Who's on your county board? Voters have got to pay attention because, quite frankly, it's going to be life and death for the American public, as we're already seeing with homicide rates skyrocketing around this country.
So St. Louis City got rid of Kim Gardner, a George Soros-appointed attorney, and the new prosecutor, nobody's heard much from him because he just apparently is doing his job, which is what we want. But now let me switch topics here briefly, because you know some of the background on this as well. 4 months ago, back in April, a bipartisan group of lawmakers introduced a bill, quote, to eliminate abusive and rampant neglect of interactive technology called Earn It. It was basically closing loopholes, allowing tech companies to escape liability because they allow hosting a child sex abuse images on their platforms. There's another proposal underway now that we've got too much porn being spread out on the internet for kids to get access to. We had a sheriff in Missouri just get arrested, not a sheriff, a deputy arrested in Missouri. He had child porn on his phone and other devices. What's going to be done and what needs to be done to protect our children from this vermin?
30 years ago, I was a child sex crimes investigator in the Chicago suburbs. And back then, I was stunned at the proliferation and the appetite for child pornography. And now, because of the internet, there is just an endless supply and a seemingly endless appetite for this kind of activity, and we cannot seem to get a handle on it. You know, you post some sort of, pro-MAGA meme on some social media sites, and it's going to get taken down. But child porn and extreme porn does not. And we have got to get a handle on that. But I don't see, you know, we talk about this bipartisan committee. I don't see a lot of real excitement
to get this done. I have to ask, how the hell do you argue against it?
There's your problem. And, you know, we can go back 50 years when the North American Man Boy Love Association, right. NAMBLA, was confronted and asked if they would denounce pedophilia, and they would not. And now you're seeing this attack on the movie The Sound of Freedom, the attack on child pornography, saying, oh, these are minor attractive persons. And you know, look at the law in California. We just had a downgrading of penalties for sexual activity with minors, saying, well, these are willing minors. What the hell is a willing minor when you're talking about being a crime victim? And I really believe that when we talk about child pornography, when we talk about pedophilia, that topic is just so icky, so disgusting to most Americans that they just don't want to have anything to do with it. And so it continues to proliferate in the background.
And children end up suffering. Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, retired now with the National Police Association, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. And she mentioned the NAMBLA group. About 30-plus years, I did an interview with the head of NAMBLA in San Francisco, and I felt dirty just talking to the guy as he sits there and tells me it's okay for a 40-year-old man to show a 3-year-old child, boy or girl, about sex. And also, big internet is allowing a lot of their activities to be used to get children across our border. We got a lot more to come in this hour, including Joe Biden making a big boo-boo as far as Indians are concerned. They are, quote, literally on the warpath. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com, AllenOutdoorSTL.com, or call 314-647-4800, AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There was a story I wanted to discuss with Sergeant Smith. We did not have time for it. I wanted to get her take on. I don't know that she would have had additional details, but I can't do the program without at least bringing it to your attention just in case you missed it. Yeah, I got it in a notice from a viewer, listener last night, saying, well, now our federal agents are going and shooting armed citizens. Well, when I first saw it, I thought, what's this about? Well, it ended up being involving a Utah man in his 70s. He'd been accused of making violent threats against President Joe Biden, and FBI agents were going to serve a warrant on his home in Provo, south of Salt Lake City, because the president was arriving yesterday. So about 6:15 in the morning, they go to the house. Now, how it went down exactly, details are yet to come out. Now, I'm not taking sides either way, but I will tell you this. If you're making a legitimate threat, and that's the other issue that's going to have to be resolved, to harm or kill the president, then they're going to have to deal with you, period. You can't be doing that. And this guy apparently had been previously a sniper in the military, talking about digging out his camouflage suit and cleaning the dust off the M24 sniper rifle, put that on a post after months of graphic online threats against numerous public figures. And, of course, here's where the media is going to be all over this. The state-controlled media suddenly opens their eyes and says, oh, look at this. This guy, he described himself as a MAGA Trumper. So, just like January 6th, they're all out there. These, quote, MAGA supporters, make America great again. That term does not belong solely to Donald Trump and his people. I want America to be great again. I'm not saying I'm not a Trump supporter, but I also am weighing options, and I don't follow anyone blindly. I don't know if this guy had some illness, mental conditions, whatever. It was right for them to investigate, and how it went down, as I say, details are yet to come out. Please do not rush to judgment because FBI agents went to his house with a search warrant, and it ends in his death, that they did anything wrong. They may have, but you can't rush to judgment on that. You can't rush to judgment. The man did anything wrong. If he was posting stuff online, that was wrong. But did he do anything to lead to a shooting, to his death? Wait on the facts. Wait on the facts, and let's see the whole thing. We have another story going on that this is a heard from some relatives say, oh, we were there just last year and planned to go back. Well, they're talking about a section of Maui in Hawaii. They have had massive fires. Hurricane Dora slammed the area. 70 to 80 mile plus hour winds, whipping the flames of a fire that started. President Biden now declaring a disaster declaration for more federal aid to Hawaii. More than 11,000 on Maui continue to grapple with power outages. Now, when I say 11,000, here's something you should always keep in mind. They write this story, more than 11,000 customers. That should supposedly mean 11,000 meters that where they get the electricity. It's not just 11,000 people. If there's only one person in the apartment, that would be one. But if they have a home and they have five, seven, or another, you know, it's more than 11,000 people is what I'm trying to say. I've had to drill that into the heads of reporters over the years. They just don't seem to get it sometimes. And they've had at least six confirmed dead and maybe as many as 40. Folks getting trapped, some cases possibly firefighters or those trying to help. And in some cases, the fire, because of the winds, got pushed way ahead of where the firefighters were. So they've been spread all over. I mean, it's you're on an island. You don't have a lot of places you can go. Phone service is down. They don't know when that's going to get that. They're saying that, why did it spread so fast? Drought. Climate change among possible sources. I'll be damned. I'm reading from CNN. I should have written it myself. Climate change to blame. Big hurricane, and it caused this. Yep. And, of course, the president expressed his, quote, deep condolences for the lives lost and vast destruction of land and property. Okay. As he should. And do what he can to help them. But the wildfires across several parts of the Big Island and Maui and wiping out one tourist area. And tourists are trapped. At last report, there's something like 1,500 tourists in one area. They can't get out. They have no communication. They know they're in there, and they're trying to get them to a safer area and maybe to other resorts. And, of course, they're advising others, do not come. And if you're on a ship in transit to there and you're finding this out a day before you arrive, you're going to have to make other accommodations, refunds and everything else. I have more I want to do on the environmental climate change issue in a moment involving Biden, but before I do that, allow me to do this. NBC's MTP Now program, hosted by Chuck Todd, since he's no longer doing Meet the Press, he discussed complaints and the demands for help from the federal government, from Democrat officials in New York and Massachusetts about all the migrants coming into their areas. And he said, and I'm going to quote, as New York City and now Massachusetts are asking, we want federal dollars. We need federal dollars to take care of this. It's a federal issue. They didn't care about it was in Texas. Didn't care about then or California. Well, California, they loved it. They were saying sanctuary city and state. But in fact, in Massachusetts, the governor is literally doing what I've been telling you they should do, and no one's responding. If you can, open your house to a migrant family. They call them migrants or illegals. Will you open your house and provide them something? She's asking the residents of her state to do that. My first question to her would be, and what have you done? Have you opened up your house, the governor's mansion? Are you letting people stay there? Are you letting a couple of illegals sleep with any of your children or grandchildren? I just want to know. You want everybody else to do it? Are you doing it? You know the answer. No comment. So President Biden thinks he did a good thing, a great thing for Native American Indians. But I said earlier, and I used the term on the warpath, I actually said literally, I overemphasize, I'll take blame for that. And I know some people, you can't use the term warpath. Well, I did. I grew up in John Wayne time, and I'm not knocking Indians. It's just the way kids played cowboys and Indians. We're nothing against Indians. In fact, where I went to school in Pecos, Texas, we had a couple of Native Indians, and they were all enjoying playing cowboys and Indians. Some of them wanted to be the cowboys. Some of the white kids wanted to be the Indians. So it goes. Same with cops and robbers. But Biden thought he was doing a great thing, because what he did was start controlling and restricting federal land around and involving some of these Indian reservations. No oil drilling, no coal drilling, and so forth. His plan is really about progressive climate policies not helping American Indians. That's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thanks to all the tribal leaders for being here. I just want you to know, I was raised by a guy most of you don't know. He's a wonderful, wonderful man, a great friend. His name was Danny Inouye. And he said, Joe, it's Indian Nations, he taught me early on. But thank you for all you've done. We had a good day yesterday in your neighboring state, Arizona. I was able to put away just about 1 million acres of sacred land. Oh, no. That's good stuff.
That's good stuff? Oh, they don't think it's good stuff in Arizona. And could you see how he slipped that one of the stories in again? It's all about him. I was raised by a Native American Indian. No joke, man. You call him a Noe or something. I don't think I've ever heard that story one time from Joe Biden, but he found an occasion to use it yesterday. And how accurate it is, I could care less. Anytime his lips are moving, it's either a lie or a mistake, or he has no idea what he's saying, or all of those above. But here's what he did. Of course, he's arguing the Grand Canyon, first of all, was one of 9 wonders of the world, which is not on any list. But he also wanted to designate lands for that area around it that involve Native American lands. He said, feeling seen means being appreciated for who we are, stewards of our shared lands and waters. And then someone else added, yes, it's investing in our people, recognizing the power of indigenous knowledge and their wisdom and perspective. But back in June, the one making that statement, one of those with Biden on this thing, pushing for controlling the land, finalized a ban on fossil fuel leasing within 10 miles of one of the national areas. And I'm looking at some of the response from the Native American Indians who, some in New Mexico, there's some in New Mexico too, you're going to do that, and then you got some in Arizona and elsewhere, shutting down oil and gas production. Well, this is all in the guise of climate change, we're going to have this. Of course, we saw the debacle with Proterra bus debacle happening yesterday, and Solera before that, the windmills. I'm going to spend more time on that part of the story in the second hour. But Biden couldn't do his deal without bringing in his little Joe Biden story, which we'll repeat here in a moment. But overall, there are currently 53 Indian allotments in a 10-mile buffer zone around Chaco Canyon, generating $6.2 million per year in royalties for some 5,400 allottees, American Indians, Native American Indians, who are entitled to anything drilled and the money that comes from that in their lands. There are 418 unleased allotments in the zone that have another 16,000 who would benefit. And according to the Western Energy Alliance, an industry group that represents oil and gas producers in the area, Navajo members will lose an estimated $194 million in this process. So he wants you to believe that this is all about making things better for them. One of the tribal Indians, the native leaders, said he's totally disregarding these communities. There's no way and need to celebrate putting people into poverty, undermining the Navajo Nation's economic structure, sovereignty, everything that comes into working with tribes. And other policy in other tribes also depend on oil and gas production or targeting the Biden administration for doing this. A group of the chairman of the National Tribe Energy Association, a member of the Pitt River Tribe, said air, wind, and energy are fundamental. And Conrad Stewart, the director of energy for the Crow Nation, said a war on coal is a war on coal and war on Crow Indians. So I'm just going to take a little bit of this story of Biden once again relating how he can relate to American Indians.
I got so tired over the last 15 years, and this is a little story I want to tell you about why I'm so, I was telling the team here, I know I don't look it, but I've been around a long time. But I've never been more optimistic in my whole career than I am today about America's prospects in both foreign and domestic policy. You know, went through an awful long time watching companies the last 15 years decide to invest overseas because labor was cheaper, shutting down factories all across America.
Blah, blah, blah. You don't really care about any of that. And your little Indian story that I was raised by a Native American Indian, you know, they told earlier. I mean, he just goes on and on. He just blah, blah, blah. And he thinks he's doing a good thing because he's bowing down before the climate culture altar and doing their bidding. And I just told you these Native American tribes are saying, you're taking money out of our pocket. How are you protecting our sovereignty and helping our tribal nations when you shut off our revenues derived from oil and gas? That's what this administration has been about from day one after shutting down Keystone Pipeline. We are going to examine in more detail about the Proterra Bus Company that Senator Energy Secretary Granholm was also involved in, Biden, VP Harris pushing, and all the other debacles. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.